Hello, and welcome to the Divine Comedy, the only Dante podcast you'll ever need, ostensibly. I am Paul Cantrell.
I'm David Fountain.
David, how the hell are you, brother?
You know what? I'm fine.
I didn't know that.
No, I'm doing good, man.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Been a minute.
That's true.
What's it been, like 6 weeks?
It's, yeah. It's been a little while.
Do you, is this reminding you of a certain song?
Which part?
I don't know where you're... Are you going to make me guess you just got back today?
Do you want to guess? Do you think you can? Do you think you can pull it off?
I got a feeling like the boys are back.
You know we butt heads on sometimes, but I got to agree with you.
I will also... I want to ask you a question about that song. Is that song depicting a domestic violence situation? She slaps Johnny's face? Something, right? She was red hot. I mean, she was steaming.
It starts with the assumption that the boys have been away.
Which is, right? No one talks about the absence.
Yeah,
only the presence.
Like, where have the boys been?
There's been a boy-shaped hole. That's a terrible phrase.
Never say that again.
You know, like the God-shaped vacuum, though, people talk about? Like,
yeah, you've got a God-shaped hole in your life.
Exactly.
Right.
That's much better.
This town has a boy-shaped hole.
This is so terrible. I'm immediately...
Well, I mean, no, it's fine, because that hole has been filled.
Please, we can't...
By the boys.
Oh, God. Okay, this is coming in hot. And, this is just feels kind of illegal.
Should we end the podcast? Are we done?
I think...
Was that the end of everything?
I feel like the federal marshals are about to just, you know, storm in here. So weird, rocky... Not rocky, but just... Unexpected start there. Took a turn.
Yeah, we're out of practice.
It's hey, if It's Always Sunny can get away with it, you know?
Right.
And hey, the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah.
So full circle, right?
Uh-huh. Right back to where we
getting
started.
Sunny. Speaking of which, I've been trying to stay positive. You know, I'm all about positivity in 2018.
That's true.
That's the platform I ran on.
This is the first time I've seen you in 2018.
That's true.
Yeah.
I almost said happy birthday. Good to be seen.
I gotta say, 31 days makes 4 weeks. Four and a half
it's
weeks.
It's been. Yeah, I missed you, buddy.
Yeah, you too.
I want to hear all about your travels. I want to hear all about your exploits.
Okay.
I've been holding it down in A-Town. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you've been away, and I've been trying to really – a lot of just in typical January fashion, just off to a terrible start. Everything's
right.
Terrible.
Back here watching The Throne.
Exactly.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, you got it, dude. I try to be a comfort to those in need.
Yeah.
I try to be a rock, you know?
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I don't want... Never mind.
I'm a rock.
You're an island, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that referring to Alcatraz?
I think so.
I'm on the rock.
I'm on the rock.
I'm on this island.
Yeah. I've got my books and my music. Here to protect me?
Is that what the next line is?
I've got my books.
Is that really what they say?
My poetry to protect me?
That's the weakest shit I've ever heard. Is that really the next line?
Yeah.
I've got my poetry to protect me? Even Dante wouldn't say some shit like that. Mm. Come on, guys.
I don't know. He says some stuff in this one.
It also kind of sounds like the jerk saying, like, I don't need you guys.
Yeah,
I need this lamp. Yeah, I need
this
that.
This dog.
Yeah.
I don't need this dog. Right. It's similar.
Get these mutts away from me.
Oh, that's also a Paul Simon.
Wow, he's really...
Wow.
He really is versatile.
Yeah.
Prolific.
I don't find this stuff amusing anymore. Okay.
P.S. I love you. Paul Simon. Never mind. Forget it.
Oh, okay. Right. Because that was the Beatles. Though.
Or Paul Schaefer, alternately. Whichever.
Paul Schaefer.
Or Sandra Bullock. What's she up to? I saw Demolition...
Sandy B.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't realize you were so familiar with her.
Yeah. Well, you know she filmed The Blind Side... Right here in this neighborhood.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that movie existed. I didn't know that she was in your neighborhood. Did you meet her?
Is it a football movie?
Still don't know that it exists.
It's about a linebacker who is like homeless and they take him in.
You're saying this like you're telling me the plot, but you're also like jogging my memory like you remember.
Of course, it was a very famous movie. I think it like won Oscars and stuff.
Well, see, you're starting with the presumption that I've seen that I watch Sandra Bullock football movies.
Right, but.
This is the same fallacy as the boys being back in town.
And then, like, it's based on a true story, and then that guy was, like, drafted by the Ravens and played for them.
Oh! So I would have a kind of at least like tertiary interest.
There,
oh, sorry.
I was trying to get there.
I'm sorry. Taking too long with the story. I saw a Ravens game. That was fun.
You know what?
And rainy.
How was it?
It was fun and rainy. Don't make me repeat myself.
Who won?
The Ravens did.
Who'd they play?
They played the Colts.
Oh, the Colts.
The erstwhile Baltimore Colts. It was kind of like when Link has to fight his own shadow at the end of Zelda 2.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, no. I know exactly what you mean.
See? That's you saw that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra Bullock wasn't even in that. She was nowhere near that one.
What is Sandra Bullock up to?
I don't know. We should holler at her.
Okay.
I was out with Nasty Nate last night.
Wait, hold on. We're not going to speculate?
Oh, I mean, I just assume doing more films.
Probably.
Would you have Speed Woman?
She's great. She's a real talent.
She's fantastic.
Speed.
Oh, yeah. All the big ones. The Net.
Yeah.
Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality
was a big one.
She did a movie about...
Are you saying Miss Congeniality 2, like T-O-O? Or like the sequel?
Yeah. She was in Miss Congeniality 2.
Also.
Yeah.
Back in the habit.
She's back probably in the tiara. In stuff. Hope Floats. Remember that? Harry Connick Jr.?
Is Hope Floats like a declarative sentence? Or is it like a drink? Like an ice cream float?
Which do you think it is? It's a magical realism.
I'm just being so
romantic comedy about a soda shop owner.
I apologize for being so goddamn pedantic. I didn't mean to insult you.
Hope Floats. That's a movie whose title is a complete sentence. And I like that. I admire that.
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. That's one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Ghostbuster. Yeah, I don't know.
No, I guess there's no... there's no real subject.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So you've been out of town a lot, right? Or have you been here and just not reaching out to me? Just hiding in plain sight. Classic something.
Let's see. I left town on the 28th of December. And I was gone for 2.5 weeks. And then I was home for 3 days. And then I was gone for 3 days. And then I've been back about a week.
When was this? When were the Stanley Hotel shows and all that? Was that the 2.5 weeks out?
No, we did some shows leading up to New Year's and then drove across the country from Chicago to, Denver.
Sheesh.
Uh-huh. Which is, I guess, not across the country, but, you know, it's a good, 2-day drive.
It's lateral.
Yeah.
So you're going across the country. Across you're not going country. Across the entire country.
Right. You go, yeah, I mean, it's probably, that's probably, what, like 1,300 miles or something?
That's a lot of miles, bro.
It's a haul. It's a haul.
Yeah. That's like 2 days.
Yeah.
That's a good little haul. Yeah. How are the shows at the Stanley?
They were wonderful. Did we talk about this before? Do people know what we're talking about?
Well, I think like a year ago. We've been doing the podcast this fucking long.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
So listener, you could probably jog their memory because it has literally been
Murder
a year.
By Death does this is the 5th year we've done it, but we do shows at the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, which is where Stephen King wrote The Shining.
I thought it was just the inspiration. I thought he stayed like one night there and it inspired him to write it. Did he really stay there and write the whole thing in that hotel?
I don't
know
if he wrote the whole thing there. I'm going to be honest with you.
I'm sorry. I'm being pedantic.
But I mean, no, it was the inspiration because I think it was like a similar thing where he was there and it was the off season and so no one else was there. And then his kid said that he saw something.
While I'm over here splitting hairs, Stephen King is raising them with his hair-raising tale of hospitality gone awry.
Oh boy. We did two shows there and then flew home for like 3 days and then Keely and I flew back out there.
I was surprised by that move. I would expect you would just, I mean, it's pretty remote, right? Out there. I figured you would just stay for the whole week.
It's probably like an hour and a half from Denver. And I don't know if a couple of people stayed in Denver. Yeah. But, I mean, like, I just couldn't really justify being gone that long.
Yeah.
Even though it was a huge hassle to, like, fly back and fly. It was just, you know, there's a baby involved.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Dad of the year, man.
That's right.
Got to get you a mug.
Yeah, she didn't really care that I was there.
Or notice.
The baby. Yeah, she just, I walked in and she was just like, ugh.
That's a reception you want to get.
Yeah.
When you fly back across half the country to see your kid.
It was a bumpy flight, too.
I love that. I love the guilt trip. You're just laying the foundation for such an epic, long con.
Yeah, she's gonna
guilt
listen
trip
to this,
and just feels
she probably won't listen.
I just realize it just sounds so put out by the
it's
whole
like,
thing.
Oh my god, I had to hang out with my beloved child.
I couldn't stay in Estes Park. I got to schlep all the way back.
Oh, you know what else was filmed there though? I'm sure I talked about this too, but Dumb and Dumber It's the hotel where they stay in Aspen.
Yeah, the lodge, right?
Yeah, where in like he goes to the bar and yeah. he sees the thing on the wall that's like man lands on the moon. That's actually in the bar.
This is a fascinating tie-in because the entire room 237 thing about you just rolled your sleeve up to like a muscle shirt. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm completely distracted now. All I can think of is like Muscle Beach in California in the 80s, macho.
Huh.
Okay, I'm done picturing.
So room 237.
And release. Room 237 is all about The Shining and the conspiracy uh-huh. theories, but it's also about the moon landing being fake.
Right.
And the two movies that were inspired by or – wait, was it – is it the Stanley Hotel that where the Dumb and Dumber was filmed?
Yes.
So – but it was the Overlook Hotel
in
the movie, right? There's right, two different the hotels, right?
Yeah.
Or was it just the name? They didn't shoot The Shining at –
No, they shot the TV series, like the TV miniseries.
I didn't know that existed either.
Yeah, it came out in the late 90s. Oh. It's like 6 hours long. It's like Stephen King always just hated
Kubrick.
Yeah, he hated the Kubrick version.
Yeah.
And so they he did like his own, which it's got one of the guys from Wings as
I was just talking about Wings the other day.
Yeah, how do you feel about
which
Wings?
Which wing? I think it was great.
You know, the Lloyd? One.
Thomas Hayden Church. That's why, because I pulled that name out of nowhere.
No, it's not Thomas Hayden Church. It's one of the brothers.
Okay, Stephen Weber or the other guy?
Stephen Weber.
Yeah, let's go say. With him.
I don't know. Which one of them was in, like,
was it Sports the bigger Night? Fella with the mustache?
No, I think it's a smaller guy.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They filmed this that good there. Podcast. They filmed that there. And since we've started playing out there, they built a... Because, like, we basically came in at the slowest weekend of the year and, yep. like, sold out their hotel and –
This is 5-6 years ago, right?
Yeah, 5 years ago. And
– Whose idea was it? I'm curious.
No, it was Adam.
Okay.
He's smart like that.
Turla?
Yeah, Adam Turla. And then, everyone buys, like, a lot of whiskey. So they were cool with that.
That's – yeah, they were okay with it?
You have a very large whiskey bar there.
Pro-business?
Yes. So anyway, I was doing that and then flew home, flew back out there.
Were you inspired to write a novel while you're out there?
No.
So missed opportunity.
Then. Yeah, I really should have.
Well, hey, the muse comes when she comes, you know?
Amen to that, brother. No ghost sightings this year.
Mm. Were there in previous years?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Sightings?
Not sightings.
Which is it, man? I just caught you in a lie, bro.
Ghostly happenings.
Supernatural, something weird in your neighborhood, basically.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing, like, an actual ghost, but you're seeing evidence.
I don't think anyone ever really sees ghosts there. I mean, it is supposed to be, like, the most haunted place, one of the most haunted places in America.
Yeah.
And there's actually an interesting theory that it was built on, a bed of quartz, I want to say.
Okay.
And, you know, like... Quartz is like a conductor of energy.
Yeah.
And so there's some sort of theory that it basically
it's
energy goes in there and like there's something that is some sort of battery that stores within the
– It's like the island on Lost. Basically.
Within the rock.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And the Riven Rock. Of
but I mean we've seen some like pretty spooky stuff happen there.
Do you care to give examples?
Yeah, sure.
Really knock my socks off here. Try to really give me some like hair raising chills.
Okay. I think the creepiest thing was we were in the green room of the concert hall at about 2 o'clock in the morning and we were all in this one room and there was no one else around and there was the doors to the outside were closed and then there was a heavy like security door on the inside that was being held open by this even heavier rock.
Yeah.
And then we're just sitting there, and then the rock starts – you can hear the rock sliding across the floor, and then the door shut. Yeah.
Big rock.
Yeah, it was a big
moving
rock.
Moving on its own.
Yeah, I mean, it was too – and then
rock talk today.
Yeah.
I mean, you start off with Thin Lizzy. What do you expect, you know?
Igneous. That's a kind of rock.
Yeah, Ignatius.
Yeah.
Also.
Hey, speaking of Ignatius, have you read
– I'm dying to hear where this sentence is going.
You know, Ignatius Reilly, Confederacy of Dunces. Have you read that?
Is that the name of the guy that wrote that?
No, it's the main character.
Oh, yeah. I have a copy of it.
Oh, great.
I have lots of – people assume I'm a big reader because I own a lot of books.
Uh-huh. Very easy way to get people to think that you read a lot. There's a guy in this chapter of Divine Comedy that we'll get to at some point who is mentioned in there.
In Confederacy of Dunces?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, point that out when we get to it. The
main character, like, consider, like, his...
Wait, Thomas Aquinas?
No.
Oh.
No. So he says that Ignatius Reilly, his, like, patron saint is Goethe.
The German playwright?
Yeah. And then there's another guy who he mentions several times, and he's in there, and it's a similar kind of name.
Yeah.
That
Boethius?
Yes.
Yeah. Boethius actually came up in Canto 5 of Inferno, believe it or don't.
Boethius.
Because he wrote Consolation of Philosophy.
What a beautiful name.
I don't know how if we're – it's because it's B-O-E-T-H-I-U-S. I don't know if that's like a diphthong, like it's like Boethius.
Well, that's one of my strongest memories of reading Confederacy of Dunces was like not knowing how to pronounce this and just thinking he was talking about a guy named Goethe.
Oh, or like goatee?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like –
Yeah, that's actually really – it's an odd coincidence because
– Goethe.
Wait, what are the odds? He picked the two writers in all of history, I'm going to double down and say, that have O-E-T-H in both of their names.
I bet there's more.
I guarantee you there's – $5. No, wait. Let me think about this. No, there's none other. No way.
Okay. No stipulations on this?
Wait, what do you mean? And just a person who's written, it has to be a writer, has to be someone who's written something, and has to have zero, O-E-T-H in the name consecutively. Okay. Do I need to, like, be more specific?
No.
Is there some loophole I'm not thinking about?
Well, I mean, I think the big loophole is that seems like it would be pretty common in German last names.
Oh, fuck.
And, like, you have just left the door open to, like bloggers.
God damn
it. My name is Magnus Goethe.
Yeah, probably not the only guy with that name, huh? Yeah. Like, maybe, like, he had a son.
I mean, like, famous people.
All right, I'll give you $5.
All right.
Later. I don't have any
okay, fine.
Fives on me. Actually, I might.
No, let's pause the podcast.
Let me see here. Hang on. This is
Well, I mean...
God damn it. Here you go.
Hold on. Well, I need...
Goddamn
Okay, money. let's put it in the center of the table until I can actually prove
In case my theory. Further wagers come, you're gonna let me do Double or Nothing?
Yeah.
Man, that was a dumb bet to make.
Yeah.
What a moron I am.
But I mean, like, okay, the dumbest thing about this bet is that I haven't even had to prove anything.
Fair. You just pointed me toward in the general direction of the likelihood that I was wrong, and I just immediately I really just gave up easy too.
Just folded.
I made that bet almost as quickly I lost it as quickly as I made it. I really did fold it.
You did, and then you
from
threw
my
it
billfold.
At me.
I didn't mean to throw it at you in like a here's your god. Well, I did say here's your goddamn money. So
you
sorry.
Did, you
yeah,
did.
My bad.
And then
I was being spiteful.
Left
I'm sorry.
It on the nightstand. And, yeah. Messed up, man.
Speaking of which, you have been cashless for a good long while now, right?
What?
Not like you're broke. I mean, like you don't carry cash.
I mean, no, you're right in both senses.
Just airing your business. Airing all your dirty laundry on some Dante podcast. So you're a pretty broke motherfucker these days, huh?
You're really struggling with debt.
What's up with that?
You've recently declared bankruptcy.
Friend. God, what a dick I'm being to you. I'm sorry. I'm really not trying to be. No, I was pointing to where the larger topic.
So you're
of...
going to die alone. No. Like cashless.
So you should really probably get one of those medical alert bracelets. Just, you know, slip in the tub, whatever. I mean.
Yeah, no, I probably should.
No, I think about that for myself sometimes.
Oh.
we got dark. We're trying to stay sunny. It's getting dark.
Yeah, I don't really use cash that much.
As a rule, you don't really carry cash.
Why? You know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And a lot of cities have been going – I've been studying the trend toward going cashless.
Yeah,
I've been trying to...
I think the last episode we talked briefly about your writing about that.
And my crusade, if you can call it that, my campaign, let's say, that's a little more modest and apropos, I guess, is ongoing.
Hey, okay.
Although it takes some time. It takes some planning. Takes a little while to get it all together. But yeah, I just met with somebody yesterday, actually. And the person I met with is actually from the city. She was kind enough to meet with me and talk over some things. And when she left, she said, I got to go down Bill Kennedy and check the traffic light. So I guess there's a traffic light there on Bill Kennedy, which is right around the – I mean, in your neighborhood.
Yeah, they
where
added
that Kroger is. They added a traffic light. So I want you to know that she's on top of it.
Okay. So she's going to go check on that?
I think it's already happened. Efforts are ongoing, I'd say. But yeah, cashless is an interesting topic, and a lot of people have strong opinions about it.
I don't know what the con opinion could be. I mean,
well, I understand the idea of I keep some cash on me usually because, like, you never know. You're in a situation where, like, in San Francisco or like Austin, for example, a lot of those places are cash only.
Right.
In Atlanta, really not the case that I've seen. I mean, you might need cash for like a valet or if you want to like give it to someone in need, I guess, you know, like you want to just have that yeah. on you. But I mean, there aren't a ton of situations that I can think of, and correct me if I'm wrong. So anyway, point being, I'm trying to figure out a way to make this idea appealing to people.
Right.
Know?
But I think, okay, so the main reason you need cash is there are places that accept only cash.
But I don't feel like I encounter many of those places in the city that we live in, at least.
Right, but you're saying like San Francisco, Austin.
San Francisco, yeah, a lot. For some reason, all the places I went in San Francisco, first time out there, it was all cash. And there's an ATM there, but you're going to get charged
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. If all those places switched away from being cashless, then...
You mean cash only?
Yeah, right. You know, it's...
What are you thinking? What's the... There's something you have in mind.
Well, I guess I'm just saying that the argument against a cashless society is that there are places that only accept cash, but in a cashless society, they would accept other things.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get too
Bitcoins, for example.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole thing that I need to figure out how that works at some point. One of these days, somebody will explain that to me.
Well, okay.
Or after they explain like the intricacies of Brexit to me, or something.
Let me tell you one thing about Bitcoin that is funny. Okay, so the price fluctuates like crazy.
Yeah.
Right. So you could order drinks at a bar and then just like kind of like sit there and wait to like tab out until
you're just like watching the stock market, basically.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
And then like, okay, Bitcoin just dropped like 10%. I mean, you know,
the value of my currency is so tenuous that I'm just going to sit here and watch the ticker. Yeah.
Yeah. And like now it's a cheaper bar tab.
Didn't 50 Cent, whose name is also currency based.
Yes. Yeah. He accepted Bitcoin for his last album and then forgot about it. And it was worth like.
And now he's like rich.
It was worth like $20 at the time. And now it's like 10,000.
Yeah. That's wild,
man. Good for Curtis.
What is more offensive? Let's go with what's less offensive.
Okay.
If I say 50 cent or if I say 50 cent, which sounds whiter? Which sounds worse?
50 cent sounds whiter.
But correct. Or is it not respecting the wishes of the man?
Why don't you just soften the FT a little bit? Like 50 cent. No, I did 50.
I mean, it's spelled with two D's, right?
Have you heard that new jam by 50 Cent?
To be honest, it just is now occurring to me. I don't think I've ever discussed this man or his work.
I don't think I have either.
And now we're not even really talking about the work. We're just talking about the money.
Well, let's talk about his work.
Chasing that paper trail.
Let's talk about his work. Magic Stick. That's a song.
I don't know any songs by 50 Cent. He did that movie with the Irish film director. I don't even remember. I can't remember his name either.
What?
Something that had to do with money. I don't know.
Oh, you're...
Doesn't matter.
Oh, God. What was it called?
Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the one.
So there's this thing like money of – I don't know. We don't really need to get into this if we want to. But, I mean, I might as well use this podcast as a platform to talk
sure,
about some of this
why
stuff.
Not?
I mean, it's what I'm doing in my life anyway. Like this is an important project to me. So, you know, what the hell. So the idea of money of account versus money of exchange. Money of account is a number in a ledger, essentially.
Right, yeah.
Money of exchange is physical dollars and cents, you know. So the idea is, so let's say a guy gets paid by, via direct deposit.
Okay.
His boss doesn't come over and hand him a stack of bills or like a sack of money.
Sure.
He gets paid direct deposit and it's just in his account. It's a number on his smartphone screen, whatever, on his laptop. He goes into a restaurant and pays with a credit card. They hand him a piece of paper. He writes down the tip or whatever. And then that person enters the tip number into a computer. And then at the end of the night, sometimes it depends on how different restaurants compensate people differently. Some places do like a Visa card. Some places write a check. Some people give you cash or whatever. But up until that point, no cash is actually entered the equation. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
That's why it would be very easy to just phase it out, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's the same way like a lot of it's just a question of getting people. People have biases about this stuff because it's just what they're used to. But like we don't exchange seashells as currency anymore. We used to do that.
Yeah.
You know, or like rocks or like I'm going to give you like an oxen.
So when you say that they'll give you like a Visa card, is it like a gift card that
it's
has
like
that
a loaded
amount?
Card? Yeah,
that's smart.
Some places do that, But it's just the idea of de-incentivizing. You know, if you take the physical money out of the business, then there's nothing worth really robbing over. You know. Anyway, yeah. it's just one part of something I've been kind of exploring in terms of how to maximize safety and minimize crime. But you know, it's an ongoing, it's a work in progress, and still kind of brainstorming some different things. But yeah, people out there, check it out. There's a really cool Visa put together an article, I think Visa like paid a think tank to do this, which is basically just a big commercial for Visa. I mean, to be honest, but it has some really great statistics in there on different cities.
The credit card company,
exactly. Well, they've waged the war on cash apparently in the last few years. And they were doing incentives for businesses. If they went cashless, you could enter a contest basically and win $10,000.
That's a great name for a rap album. War on Cash.
War on Cash.
Well, it's a decent name for an album.
Cash rules everything around me. It's kind of the antithesis to that.
Right.
It's like a response song.
Yeah.
You know. Do you, switching gears back again, do you believe in ghosts?
That's an interesting question.
And it's not necessarily a yes or no question, I guess. You can kind of... The same way, like, you might not believe in, like, the Judeo-Christian God, but you might believe in some higher power, you know?
Yeah. You know, I have not in, like, a traditional sense where there are ghosts that need to be busted, you know? Like,
is that the traditional sense?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's kind of, like, the traditional sense is specters, ghouls.
Ghouls? Okay.
No, but I mean, like with the energy thing... that I was talking about earlier with like the energy being stored in the quartz of the bedrock or whatever. I mean, so, you know, conservation of energy, you've got matter and energy and they can change into each other. But yeah. So when you die, it seems like that energy has to go somewhere, right?
I mean, the electricity in your brain, you mean, or?
Yeah, I guess.
Physically? Are you talking about like some kind of like animus or soul or like pneuma?
Yeah, I mean it's like I guess you have to believe in some sort of ghost in the machine type thing. But
what does that mean? I'm familiar with that phrase, but I'm not entirely clear on what you mean by it.
You know what I mean? Like the machine is just like cold and by itself has no – is inoperative.
Meaning the body – you're talking about the human body?
Yeah,
like
we're
just kind of
right.
meat – like meat – bags, basically.
Meat puppets.
Yeah.
Is that
blowing my mind. This, by the way, is pertinent because we're talking about – I mean this book has tons of ghosts in it, you know?
Yeah.
Or spirits or shades or whatever he calls them, you know?
Yeah, no, we're getting into the book, I think.
Sort of.
We're getting into ghosts.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean
– Let me ask you a follow-up.
I mean, okay.
Go ahead.
And I mean I was just going to say like I mean I don't really know what I'm about to say.
That's fine. I couldn't tell if you were forming a thought or if you wanted me to jump in for a second.
I think that there it tracks for me. It makes sense in some way that I don't really know how to explain that there could be something left over that is separate from the physical body.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So can that somehow apparate itself into maybe not visual, but some sort of like, I mean, and then there's other things with like, you know, like parallel universes, and it's basically like two slides, like, you know, photo slides on top of each other, and like,
yeah,
you know, like, I don't know.
Okay, well, let's get into this a little bit because so for one point, when I say ghost,
yeah,
for some reason the first thing that pops into my mind is a kind of white sheet, I guess, not like a Ku Klux Klan thing, but like.
Like a Halloween costume.
Exactly. When I was a kid, that's what a ghost was.
Yeah.
I'm just now realizing this. At no point did it ever occur to me that a ghost was actually a person who had been living and no longer was.
Yeah.
Like the ghost of Tom Joad or whatever, you know?
Right.
But now that I'm thinking about it and I think about do I believe in ghosts, I'm only thinking about it in terms of the ghost of someone who's passed away, whether famous or a friend or a family member or whatever. I'm thinking of that in those terms. So if a door opens, it means there's a person who opened it who's on some other plane of existence that I just can't see. So they're invisible, but they can see me somehow.
But then
– like the way in Dante, like when he encounters ghosts, they see him, he sees them, but they don't have corporeal form.
Right. So
– but it's a person.
I mean like the question is if they don't have corporeal form and they can't interact with physical objects, then like a door closing, you know, like has no bearing on whether or not
Well, this gets back into that movie we saw, Coco, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because on the Day of the Dead, right?
Wait, let's not tell them what movie it was first.
Oh, yeah.
Callback.
This is nice. God, that was a while ago. I think that was the last episode we did. It was
that
like
was.
6 weeks ago or something. So in that movie, on the Day of the Dead, right, they all have the ability to return to the world. No, what is it? They have corporeal form or what's the deal? I forget the deal.
Which one? The ghosts?
Yeah. What's the exception that's made on that day?
They can cross – I think it's like they can cross a bridge into like into the land of the living.
Yeah, okay. But do they have physical shape at that point?
I don't think so. No. Okay. No.
Oh, because that would be a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah.
just run amok.
That's just zombies.
Your whole village is just – yeah. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. I'm glad you corrected me on that.
Grandma's back.
Yeah. God, it's spooky. But at the same time – this would be a really good thing that we – this is more like a Halloween kind of topic, but I mean it's whatever. People listening to this don't need to know what time of year it is. It's Halloween, people.
Happy Halloween.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
I think we should let's bank this episode and release it, just... say, end of January.
Exactly.
Let's release it 3 months from now.
Yeah. Good call. This is like – this is the time travel – the time machine podcast that I'm always talking about. So anyway, in Ghostbusters though
– right.
Oh, wait. Let's back it up.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just real quick, in Ghostbusters, it's like when you meet the librarian in the beginning, she's a ghost. I assume that she's the ghost that used to live, that used to work there.
Right.
Which, like, what are you doing?
And she can interact with physical objects.
Yes, she can. Well, you gave me a look like, ayo. Yeah. Oh, are you talking about blowjob ghosts later? Because you gave me a knowing look there.
Oh, that's in the hotel, right? That's in the hotel. That's not
the library. He's not getting that from
library
the library.
Ghost can say shh and then like kind of Large Marge style.
Yeah, just turn come right into, at like, you. God, Large Marge terrified me as a kid.
Me too.
But I remember like looking through my fingers like in the theater when my sister took me to see it. Yeah, exactly. It scared the hell out of me. Because you don't really see it coming.
No.
Which is part of why it's
a jump scare.
So great. It is a big time jump scare. And it's suddenly like animated.
Yeah.
You know, which is crazy. Tim Burton, he's a genius. Didn't he direct that?
Probably.
Yeah. And Phil Hartman co-wrote that movie.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Gone too soon. So anyway, in Ghostbusters, it's now occurring to me. First of all, why is she still working in that library? She's free to do anything she wants.
Well, she had unfinished business, probably.
What, finished filing the books?
No, wait for books that were overdue.
How long till her soul gets it right, David? I ask you.
I don't know that any human being has that kind of insight. I don't.
That's another callback. Galileo,
king of night vision,
optometrist, king of.
Is that what? Did they
king
say?
Of night vision, king of insight? Yeah. And we were talking about how he's like a discount optometrist.
Oh,
like he's a vision king. I'm the whiz. Nobody beats me. That kind of thing.
I like the idea. This is probably exactly what we said last time, but I really like the idea of Galileo with night vision goggles. And a crown.
It's funny, like, if you do this podcast enough times,
just repeating this.
We are, and I think I even made this joke one time, like, we are the monkeys hammering on the typewriter.
Yeah.
And this is our Hamlet. If you do it enough times, you'll eventually repeat it exactly word for word. I feel like Borges has a story about this as well.
That
would
make
sense. The infinite library or something like that. Anyway. Yeah,
that
Borges.
Sounds familiar.
So
you might have told. I may have told. This is the exact story that we've told.
This is what happens when you know someone for 2 decades, I guess.
Yeah.
You just run out of and when I've basically checked out from public life. You
hey,
know?
Me too, man.
So when you just you're not accruing any new experiences.
We've
just
been nurturing a baby.
Just her. Yeah. Well, you have a good excuse.
Yeah.
Me, it's just like I got Matt's HBO Go password. So like, see you in a few years, guys. You know.
Yeah.
Really killed my productivity.
I don't know. What do you think that ghost was in the library?
I mean, I guess unfinished business.
Was
is
it to
is
forward
popular...
the plot of the work of fiction?
Harold Ramis. It's like Harold Ramis' grandmother or something. Like she has to be there to make it. It's her destiny. Oh man! So, but what's weird about Ghostbusters is that it's not just you know erstwhile former librarians, whatever.
Right.
I keep using that word erstwhile. I really like the word. It's or like emeritus.
Mm-hmm.
Librarian emeritus, mm-hmm. you know, that's how I feel of myself as a musician. Like I'm a guitarist emeritus in several bands that reconnect or like reunite sometimes when we're all in the same city. That kind
right.
Of
yeah.
Anyway, but then you've got like Slimer.
Yeah.
Slimer is the ghost of what? You know what I mean? Was Slimer alive at some point? No way.
No, he totally was.
As a Slimer.
Yeah.
Tell me, he's the specter of his form. He's the shadow of his former self.
Well,
he's a monster.
Okay,
and monsters are different than ghosts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's different. That's different.
Now you're getting into ghoul territory.
Yeah, he's more of a ghoul.
He's ghoulish. He is.
He's kind
and
of
he's eating that goulash. You know what I mean?
He's sort of like a goblin, but
what's
no, because he doesn't have legs.
I don't know. That distinction is
legs.
Above
Why
my pay grade.
Slimer
I don't
have legs.
I invited this conversation, didn't I?
I'm really enjoying this conversation.
He has like like dinosaur arms.
Yeah.
Like he never pays the check. Right. If you got to eat
he's
with Slimer,
like
you are
ghost of a big jelly bean or something.
I don't know. I'm not sure. No, because he has a mouth.
Yeah, jelly beans don't have mouths.
What's
Good
weird
point.
About
that's
Slimer?
The one.
That's... David, I'm going to refute you right there.
You found the one hole in that theory.
The chink in the armor. Ooh, that's not. Yeah, you can't say that anymore.
I know.
The Achilles heel of your premise.
Yeah.
What's weird about that too is that they had a Ghostbusters cartoon that used to came on.
The real Ghostbusters
that used to came on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, was that the name of it?
Well, there's the real Ghostbusters. Okay, so here's what happened. There was a show, a British show in the 80s that was called Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. This is before the movie Ghostbusters came on, and it was a live action thing. And there was a gorilla involved.
Yeah.
And then, so the movie Ghostbusters came out, and then the people who created the TV show Ghostbusters were like, time to cash in. And so they had a show called Ghostbusters. So this was a cartoon in the mid 80s. Okay. And the theme song was like, let's go.
The right
let's
stuff?
Go. Pretty much.
A lot of lawsuits
go.
Going
it was
on.
Like, let's go, Ghostbusters, let's go.
Okay.
And then so the movie Ghostbusters, they said, well, we also want to monetize this shit.
Yes.
And
why
so
not?
They had a cartoon called The Real Ghostbusters.
The British people or the.
No. This one had Egon.
Oh, yeah.
Winston.
Yeah.
Venkman.
You got a very litigious air surrounding Ghostbusters because you got your Ray Parker Jr. lawsuit.
Wait, who am I missing?
Oh, Aykroyd, your boy.
Right.
The only one you've actually met in real life.
What's his name, though? In the
Peter.
Ray.
No. Ray, yeah. Leota. Nailed it. Totes Leotes, baby. Woo!
Ray.
I really don't remember his last name. I should. I don't know. Don't care. I moved on with other stuff in my head.
Raymond.
Here's the thing. In the cartoon.
Oh, and Slimer's their friend.
Yeah.
In the cartoon.
And he's just totally domesticated. Yeah. He's like the Orko of the bunch.
Yeah, he's like Glomer. Or from.
What's that from?
Oh, God. That is from the Punky Brewster cartoon.
Oh, sure.
He's like an Orko. Yeah.
Yeah, they just completely like just. They neuter this thing.
He's like.
I'm gonna tell you. In the film. Antagonistic, he was.
Yeah.
And suddenly he's just like their Dubois. I don't know. He's just like this.
What do you remember? Okay, so Slimer.
I remember the high C, like the.
Ecto Cooler.
The Ecto Coolers, mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are making a comeback.
Slimer.
But he became like their mascot somehow.
Yeah, he was like their pet.
Maybe they domesticated him in a way by.
But
by...
he's there watching them, like. It's like having a pet cow and just like eating hamburgers in front of it like all the time.
He's
and,
like the Theon Greyjoy of
yes,
right?
Yes.
Speaking of neutered, oh, sorry, spoilers, folks.
That's fine.
But yeah, that's so. You're right.
Yeah.
He's there. They've domesticated him. They've completely emasculated. I'm assuming
he's
he
a
has
cuck.
A gender. He's a cuck.
Slimer's a ghost.
God
cuck.
Damn it! I feel like we accomplished something today.
I feel like
if we
did
accomplished
too.
Nothing else.
No, we did. We figured out that Slimer is a ghost cuck.
I'd go see that band, Ghost Cuck.
Patent pending.
Boom. Nailed it. speaking of litigiousness. But yeah, well, let's back this up, though. So, man, I feel like we really cracked something there. We really broke the case.
I feel like.
Wide open.
I feel like I could put, I could do like.
We should just stop now. That's enough, right?
No, we got a little. We can talk about the book
I'm just
for a minute.
Kidding, yeah.
I feel like someone could do a Twitter thread. About like, oh my God, my childhood. Check this out. Slimer's a ghost cuck. And
yeah.
It would like get picked up by BuzzFeed.
Break the internet, bro.
Yeah.
See, we think of these things, but we don't need to act on them.
No.
We could be internet famous. We just, you know, just.
We just don't want to.
Leave that to the others, to the plebs and
hoi
polloi.
Put that on my Pinterest page.
Yeah.
Talk to someone on Kik.
Is that a thing?
I think so.
It's got to be a thing. You say any word and it's probably a thing. Some millennial somewhere has created a website about it.
Goddamn millennials.
Speaking of which, so I might be rebooting the My Darling Atlanta website.
Hey.
Might be doing that.
I'd like to see that.
In the interest of, Well, just having a way to communicate with people about all this public safety stuff, you know, just have a way to have it all in one place. It's already an existing platform that I already have, and I'm frankly pay the $15 a year or whatever the hell it costs.
Have you had any kind of negative feedback?
Oh, all kinds. Not really. Here's what happens
since last time.
Well, what happened? No,
since
not
the guy
really.
That was just like gay,
like with an E, yeah. G-H-E-Y, because he wants to be ironic about it. No, that there was one guy that basically just said, like, yeah, this was all in vain, which is shitty, but kind of on the nose. And I think we talked about this last time, how it upset me in a way, but mostly because, like, well, it's kind of true, like, unless something happens to fix it, which is basically what I was saying all along. So I get that, and that didn't really get under my skin. Most of the time, there was an AJC article that came out as well about a security meeting.
Uh-huh.
I can't say safety meeting because within the industry, when people say safety meeting, it's when they all go in the back and do a shot together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this was a literal safety meeting.
Wow. I'm learning.
Yeah. It's actually a lot of people say safety meeting. And they're like, okay, see y'all back in a minute, you know, and then they go in the back and then, yeah, it's fun sometimes.
So people, wait a minute. Okay. People
drinking
in the
on the job, David,
have been drinking alcohol on the job
know,
and then coming out to serve me.
Your virgin ears. I know. I'm sorry to have burst your bubble there.
I mean,
your world is crashing.
Hung out with
you.
a lot of bartenders in my life. And,
that's one of my favorite lines in a movie, the kicking and screaming movie, not the soccer one. I always have to qualify and clarify, not the soccer one. He's at the bar and Eric Stoltz is playing the bartender and he does a shot with him and he says, I like that you drink. I like a bartender who drinks. Otherwise, I feel like I'm just being poisoned.
Yeah.
That's a good line. So, yeah, rebooting that. Oh, what I was going to say is the AJC article that I'll post somewhere, maybe. I should.
You should.
Yeah, I definitely should. Anyway, the comments on that also follow the same trend that yeah. I mean, occasionally you'll get someone who says, you know, this affected a friend of mine, or thank you so much for doing this, or but a lot of the negative comments usually fall into one of two camps. They fall into the ultra racist camp, or they fall into the ultra pro gun advocacy camp.
Yeah, totally.
And I've tried my best to kind of get out ahead of the latter of those two in the thing that I wrote, which I mean, I hope kind of at least stemmed the tide of the amount of comments that I got. But I mean, it's just – it's going to happen. People read the stuff and they say –
people are
going to
look at the headline and just say like, well, if everyone had a gun,
yeah, exactly. So yeah, just weaponizing the entire citizenry of the city is not – I feel like – and people say like, what could possibly go wrong? Well,
yeah.
A lot could go wrong.
Or
so
a lot
just
go wrong.
Think about what you're saying, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we can I honestly might – not like as a segment, but I would like to, if you're cool with it maybe just keep people apprised because I'm realizing as I'm saying this, like we have people that listen to this and might actually care about this subject. So, I mean, even if you don't work in the industry, I guarantee you know someone who does, even if it's only like the bar that you go to in your neighborhood, you know,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people go to these places and don't think about like they have their dinner, they have their drinks, whatever, and they say goodnight. They don't think about the fact that these people are going to be there hours later closing by themselves.
Right.
Usually, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's something that affects everybody. It affects our neighborhoods and all that. But going back to the ghost thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of on the – I get what you're saying. I think you and I are kind of the same mind on this without sounding presumptuous. But it's that idea of like in the New Testament when they're talking about Jesus dying on the cross, giving up the ghost,
mm-hmm.
That idea of like the pneuma, like P-N-E-U-M-A, the Greek word for spirit.
So it's like soul. Okay.
Spirit or breath literally means breath. It's the same word for pneumonia.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just, I mean, yeah, it's an infection in your lung. So lung is, it's all based on the same thing.
It's like bad air, right?
Pneuma, I don't.
Like.
Oh, literally, like ammonia or.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure etymologically how that suffix works, but yeah, it's essentially like something wrong in your neighborhood.
Right.
Of your lung.
Uh-huh.
Lung town. You know? Lungville. Anyway. So you picture that, or it's weird, but it's also the same way that you lose weight, I've read.
What?
Like people say, like, you lose weight, where does the weight go? I read this recently. It kind of blew my mind a little bit, but it makes perfect sense. You lose weight through perspiration and through your actual breath, which is crazy to me.
Well, okay. Because
I'd be, like, huffing and puffing on that treadmill, man, if
so,
I knew.
Well, that breath – okay, so for the mass to disappear, it would dissipate as heat.
Right. So that can be hot breath. I guess.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Hot Breath Podcast. Or, sure.
All right.
No, they're great. Joel Byers, shout out. He actually helped us out a lot when I was asking him questions about how to do a podcast when we first started this. So,
well, thanks, Joel.
He's great. He has comedians on. He's fantastic. So anyway, so it makes sense that it would be heat. I guess because I'm thinking about what you were saying in terms of energy never really being lost,
uh-huh.
Right? So is that like a zero sum? Like there's a total amount of energy in the world?
Yeah. That well, that's what E equals MC squared.
But we talked about this before, because as the population increases and there's electricity and brain activity, wouldn't that mean the overall, like the net electricity would be greater? I feel like we talked about this like a long time ago too, and you shot me down with a really obvious reason why I was completely dead wrong, but I can't think of what it was.
I don't know.
This is just like
– I can't think of what that would be.
The illusion of progress. Like I think I get – I'm just here in this like weird Groundhog Day scenario saying the same things and not – like I didn't learn anything.
I really shut you down and let's just – I don't even need
to – really shame.
I'm not even going to repeat.
You dropped the mic so hard and went through the floor. Yeah.
There's probably something really obvious.
Yeah, who knows?
Well, okay.
Goethe.
Yeah, Goethe.
Never lived that down either.
Goethe.
This is why I don't leave the house, you know?
Yeah.
Should have stayed in bed. But yeah, that idea of that's what I picture. And I think in films, that's kind of what they show. They'll show like, you know, the person breathes their last and the breath, the spirit escapes through their mouth.
Yeah.
And it kind of dissipates into the atmosphere, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really just carbon dioxide.
Well, okay.
You know?
So good example. We're sitting in a small room that has these absorbent panels on the wall, right? If we were playing like some really loud rock music in here, it would get hot.
Rock and roll music?
Rock and roll music.
Okay.
Maybe not completely because we have ventilation in here. But so the sounds.
It would get hot?
Yeah, the sound waves hit the absorbent material,
yeah.
The compressed insulation, and it dissipates. It like the where when it bounces back, it's less energy and. The difference between the two is made up for by a small amount of heat.
So, and it's being stored in the within the pads, I guess, or within the cushion of the.
Well, I mean, it kind of wafts material. Out.
Waft.
It wafts.
Okay. I never realized that. Yeah, that's interesting to me. So I don't know what I believe. I mean, at the same time, I don't know. It's that thing. I didn't have any intention of talking about this, but this is the kind of stuff I kind of want to. Spend more time on.
Yeah.
As we near the final kind of, I guess we're in like the last 25% of this thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's like cautiously home stretch. I mean, it's still going to take us a while to get through it.
Yeah, I believe this would be the 77th canto.
It's around there, yeah. So we're nearing the home stretch, but at the same time, like it's an hour a week essentially. So like there's still plenty of time to talk about stuff. But like this and like the idea of, well, yeah, I like the idea of a ghost because I like any idea of my loved ones continuing to exist in some way.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, do I want them here lurking around because they have unfinished business? That's cryptic, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I've always been told that heaven is the place where you are reunited with your loved ones. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like that's really the case or even possible according to the religion of Christianity. Because – I don't know why I'm talking so slowly. Because if you like that idea, if you're the Crash Test Dummies lyric, for example, when he says, and if your eye got plucked out in this life, would it be waiting up in heaven with your wife? Which is referring to somewhere in the book of Matthew, in the gospel, and basically saying if you remarried, which wife is yours when you get to heaven? Do you get both wives? Like,
oh, yeah.
And he's saying, well, no, well, like you're essentially –
bringing it back to Lost.
Don't have that desire anymore.
I mean, in the afterlife, okay, yeah, it's been long enough. In the afterlife, who does Saeed end up with?
Oh, you're right.
Shannon.
You're right.
And not Nadia?
Right.
Come on.
He went and saved the best for last.
Yeah.
Did. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. But the idea is that you
know, that's just shoddy writing.
It's
on JJ's part.
I just had to get her back. Or
Carlton.
Oh, I thought you meant Carlton from – because we were talking earlier about Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah.
Excellent dancer. Excellent actor.
Yeah.
Triple threat. Somebody the other day said triple threat, and they're like, yeah, he writes. He does comedy. He does music. And I'm like, hold on. Does he dance? Because that's the triple threat, all right? They were talking about Donald Glover. And I was like, hold on a minute. I mean, all possible respect to Donald Glover. He's fantastic. And I imagine he may dance as well. I don't know what he does.
He probably does.
But –
No,
you son of a bitch.
I'm just saying, he's so incredibly talented.
Yeah, I almost did that and I caught myself and like backed away from the ledge and then you went right over it. That was perfect.
One of my favorite podcasters and media personalities, Jesse Thorne, tweeted, I'm a triple threat. I sing, I dance, and I have a knife.
So I forget. Yeah. So that idea that it's a really quaint idea. You go back and it's all your loved ones. But if you do that, then it's just kind of like more life, you know, because then like your neighbor's there that you like kind of tolerate, you know,
people in,
everybody's there.
The
it's
people
just
in
more world
in like Paradiso.
Yeah.
They've sort of transcended person, like personhood.
They have like, identity insofar as like they can talk to him and be recognized. But
yeah, but
still...
like if they're like if he's talking to a ghost and then the ghost's mom floats by, it's not like he's gonna be like, oh my god, it's my mom. It's just like there was another ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you're dealing with this is a very semantic question that we can get into another time. And again, I'm being pedantic, but how old is everybody? Are you the age when you died?
Well, I think
if so, your grandfather might be younger than you. You know, what is the power structure? And is there a power structure? Because I would think it's like God and then everybody else.
Oh, my God. Hold on. Wait a minute.
What?
Okay. If someone is in heaven.
Yeah.
And then like we're down here.
Sure.
Let's say let's say Dante is in heaven.
Mm-hmm. But as he is in this book, you mean?
Right. But like like now.
I'll allow that premise.
October 31st, 2017. We're here. Dante is in heaven and all is right. We get a time machine, go back and kill his parents. What happens to him in 2018?
The grandfather paradox? Well, his hand starts to disappear as he's playing Johnny B. Goode, obviously.
Oh.
But it is a grandfather paradox.
But here's the it's the grandfather paradox. But, like, I think that's always applied to, like, living people, isn't it? Like, normally,
does
like...
Does his soul, is it plucked
like
out of heaven, essentially?
Like, the trope, isn't it always, like...
No, you're right.
I don't know. Like, if someone went back and killed Hitler's parents... And then Hitler got plucked out of hell. That sucks.
Fair. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, where is he going from hell?
He
just vanishes.
Never existed.
Oh, so you want him down there.
Yeah.
I feel like that's similar
you
thing
don't
happened.
Want Hitler to be in – where do you want him to be?
Don't twist my words around. If it's hell or nothing.
Hold on. Here's a flaw in your plan.
That's a line from Dean Rooney from Ferris Bueller. Between hell and nothing – or it's between – I forget. Whatever. Go ahead.
Okay. The big flaw in your plan –
that wasn't my plan all of a sudden.
No, like, okay, you're in heaven and
I like it.
There's a guitar player. There's a band. Mm-hmm. And like, all right, who's the guitar player going to be? Oh, I know. Dante. Really?
Oh, fair.
I mean.
Your move, Hendrix. Yeah. I was just making a tie-in with Back to the Future. Just saying,
all the
like,
great guitarists.
Yeah. Dante. You could probably play a little lute.
Probably.
Actually, no, because he had his friend Casella had to sing for him when he wrote poetry. The power, what is it? The power of my poetry? Is that what you said?
The power of my poetry.
The power of prose.
The potent power of my poetry.
Final thing on this, and we should probably get, I feel like the time kind of got away from us a little bit, but but we should talk about the book
up.
A little bit. Yeah, we had to. Was there any more ghost stuff to talk about?
There's a lot more ghost stuff. We'll pick up on the ghosts next time.
And in hell, I feel like there is a thing. About, like, people had very strong personalities in hell.
Yeah.
But I was never really clear on whether it was only while they were talking to him. Because there was some situation I remember in which, like, somebody was, like, boiling in the pitch.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like an amorphous sinner.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that in hell, part of the punishment is that you're stripped of your identity.
Right.
Like, boot camp style, you know? But they definitely could revisit that form to talk to him. But then it was like they went back and –
well,
like I went back to the fire that refines or something.
When like Ulysses is in the Ulysses.
He's just a flame.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think he's like some sort of like specter within the flame and like he steps out and he stays in the flame.
I think he communicates by like he's just a flashing light. Because remember it's described as when they look into like this huge cavernous space and it looks like fireflies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like little like chirping things. But he still talks to him, but I'm not even sure if he gets a body when he's talking to Dante at that point. I don't remember. Anyway, we can revisit all this stuff. I read this very late last night.
Uh-huh.
I had I was out. I was gonna say I was out consoling a friend. Uh-huh. That's a lie. I mean, I have friends who have been having a hard time and all that, but mm-hmm. I was out just having drinks with a friend.
Yeah.
There's no reason for me to put like a philanthropic slant on this. Like I was out at a bar, you know. And then I came home and thought, oh, I need to read that Dante. And like it wasn't like. Yeah, it was fine.
It seems like we should have something to say about this canto, but there's really not
This is one of those like walk and talk, like it's like an in between, like a transitional canto.
Yeah, but I mean, like Thomas Aquinas is there.
Yeah, like that's with a whole entourage. He's got a posse.
Yeah,
Boethius is there, your boy.
Yeah,
Ignatius's boy. There's two addresses to the reader, which is odd. So let's just do the intro real quick. Divine wisdom and harmony of in the harmony of creation, ascent to the fourth heaven, the sphere of the sun, thanksgiving to God, Saint Thomas, and the other 11 spirits who form a crown around Beatrice and Dante. I don't remember. There's not much dialogue, though. It's mostly directed toward the reader, from what I remember.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then there's, like, Solomon, King Solomon. He's in there.
Yeah.
According to the notes. And then there's some people where he just sort of, like, expects that these people will live on forever. Or he's just like, it's your boy from Naples. I don't even have to tell you his name because, like, he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
he probably should have said his name, Dante, because now no one has any idea who you're talking about.
Moving tribute.
Your boy.
A little vague.
The man from Padua.
Was anything sticking out from this for you? This is it's fine that we're not really going to cover much of the book this time. We had to catch up. The next one's going to be a big one, I think, because at that point they're dealing with the sun.
Okay.
And Thomas Aquinas, just quick, maybe I can just do like something by way of background on Thomas Aquinas.
That'd be cool.
And then we can go out on that note, and then we can get into the real nitty gritty of it next time. And I'll try to read the book a little earlier, and you know, with my wits a bit more about me, let's just say.
All right.
So Thomas Aquinas was, among many things, he was the founder of Scholasticism, which is basically the idea of books referring to other books.
Okay.
That makes any sense?
Yeah, reference.
Intertextuality, yeah. That kind of thing. And so, which is something that's affected me a lot in terms of just the way that I think. I mean, even going back to that very first course with Mr. Christian, it's a great phrase for it. Which I believe he coined. If you're out there, Mr. Christian, and I'm wrong, please correct me. Celestial cross pollination.
Okay.
Which is basically, and you know the way. I mean, this is so ingrained in my way of thinking. This is kind of where it comes from. Like, you know, talking to me, people out there listening, you know that the way our minds work is essentially tangential. Even in this episode, right. I found myself having to walk back like, okay, like we've gone as far as that's probably going to go. Let's bring it back to this and then go out this other way. That's where it started, that class, thinking about books in terms of other books. And Aquinas was one of the first guys, if not the first, if I'm not mistaken, to do that and to write in that way. So like the Summa Theologica, from what I recall, written in – it's the book kind of interrogates itself in a way. It asks a question and then it answers the question.
It's intratextual.
Yes, precisely. Right. It's kind of like the catechism style episode of Ulysses.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's episode 17 where Bloom and Stephen Dedalus finally meet up and then the book kind of interviews itself about their meeting.
Yeah.
Like what happened?
What did they do?
What did they drink? What kind of cocoa was it? You know, how many times did, you know, et cetera.
What did Uncle Charles smoke?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That such black twist. You love that. It's such a funny thing to stick out. It's like the only thing I remember from Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man.
I think it's the first line too. So that, and as many times as I have like attempted to read that,
yeah,
and then eventually did
fly by those I nets. Think, you know,
Uncle Charles smoked such black twist.
Stand me ever in good stead, David. So Aquinas,
very good moo cow it was.
Well, there are, so I do. We do remember other stuff. It's like when you pee the bed first, it's warm, then it's cold. There's a line in there. He's like writing from the perspective of Stephen as a very young boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the tone—that's the Uncle Charles principle. Was that the tone and language changes as a character age? Or it can.
Yeah.
It befits the person you're speaking of, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Anyway, that's a great great course. Anyway, so that's probably enough about Aquinas. So he wrote stuff.
Great.
Aquinas was great.
What did he write?
Summa Theologica. Okay. Summa something else. I forget. I don't know. I used to know this stuff backwards and forwards. It's a shame we were not doing this podcast like 12 years ago because I was all over this stuff.
Yeah.
And I had nobody to talk to about it. The irony. That's my contrapasso. All right. Yeah. Are we at a stopping point? I lost track of time. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure. We will try to do this more regularly from now on.
Yes.
But yeah, good to be back. So our theme song is Hell on You by an English Place. I am Paul Cantrell.
I am David Fountain.
And we'll see you in hell.